If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm chapter 24. We're going to be kicking off a new sermon series this morning, and we'll be there in just a moment. Psalm chapter 24, the good news is, when the preacher preaches out of Psalms, it's always an easy one to find. Just go right to the middle, and there you'll be. When I was on staff at First Baptist Church in Odessa, Texas, we had an IT lady on our staff. She took care of all of our computers. Our building was pretty good size and lots of offices, lots of staff people. I think we had 10 or 11 just ministerial staff, and that's not counting all of the secretaries and all the different subordinate staff and all the things that went with it. And so it was quite a job to keep all of our emails working and all the things going. And so I would call Rhonda sometimes because computers are just not my thing. Now, I know how to do what I need to do. But outside of that, I'm in trouble. If they ever change the layout, when they do an update and the buttons change location, I'm in trouble. But I would call Rhonda when I would have trouble, and I'd ask her to help me and to explain the problem to her, what it was. And it took me a little while because I'm not the fastest learner. It took me a little while to figure it out, but I finally figured out that she did the first thing that she did every time was the same. No matter what my problem was, the first question was always the same. She would say this: have you turned your computer off and turned it back on? Have you rebooted your computer? Now, I'm one that after several times of that, I finally learned to turn it off and turn it back on. And when it comes up, for whatever reason, it's back where I need it to be and it'll work. Computers just need to be rebooted sometimes. My cell phone, I've taken it in a time or two when I have trouble with it. I'm one of those people, I sleep with the phone beside my bed. I never turn it off. And every once in a while, I'll take it in and say it won't do what I need it to. And they'll say, well, turn it off, let it stay for a few minutes, turn it back on. And when it comes back, it just works like I need it to. I've learned that computerized things, when you have trouble with them, before you try anything else, just turn them off and let them reboot themselves from the get-go. And a lot of times, a lot of the bugs, they'll fix on their own. I would tell you this morning, we're going to kick off a sermon series entitled Reboot. All systems are go. Now, the reboot is significant because sometimes for us, what we need to do is just reboot our lives. Even though we may be walking in the direction God has for us, or maybe we're not walking in the direction God has for us, or maybe we're kind of walking in the direction God has for us, we just need to reboot and start over. When I think about the all systems are go, I can't help but think about NASA. Before they launch something, that's one of the things that they'll say: all systems are go, let's continue on with the launch. I want you to know this. I want to help you over the next 4 weeks. From today, I want to help you that as we launch into the world, that we are where we need to be and that all of our systems are go. When I think about that for me, and I kick that around, we all have things in our life that are external and need to be rebooted. Some of us, the thing that need to be rebooted in our life is our marriage. Maybe we're high on frustration, maybe we're low on communication, but our marriage just needs to be rebooted. Some of us, maybe the thing that needs to be rebooted in our life is our finances. Maybe we got too much month at the end of the money. We need to restructure some expenses, or we need to restructure some income. Maybe the thing in our life that needs to be rebooted is our weight. Maybe we're a little too much of the good stuff and not enough of the healthy stuff. The majority of times for all of us, we work on those external issues because it's those external issues that people see. And that's the thing that we seem to be most concerned with. But over the next 4 weeks, I want us to focus not on the external things, but on the internal things. The reason for that is the scriptures say that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. Now, you may have marriage issues that you do need to work on. You may have financial issues or health issues that you need to work on. But I will tell you this, I am a believer that if we can get the inside right, the outside will work like it's supposed to. I believe if we can get our insides right, the outsides will work like they're supposed to. This morning, we're going to start in the most crucial place. Now, I got to tell you, next Sunday, we're going to talk about rebooting our minds. That's where I really felt like that we would start this morning. But the more I studied and the more I read and the more I prayed about this sermon series, I felt like God just kept saying, no, there's another place you need to start besides your mind, because your mind is not really the key for being who I want you to be. And I think this morning where we're going to start is not with rebooting our minds, but with rebooting our hearts. The heart is really the key. It's interesting, the scriptures tell us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. Hey, all of us have a heart. But no matter how good or how bad it may be, the fact is all of us have a heart that is evil in its first tendencies. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, to guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, even though it doesn't use the word heart, it gives the same idea. But it said, a good man produces good things from his storeroom of good. And an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I believe for us, our storeroom is our heart. That's where everything starts. The scriptures say, if you got a good heart, things are going to be better. And if you got a bad heart, things are going to be worse. Guard your heart, because all of us, our heart's natural tendency is toward evil. Now, some of us don't like that idea. It's okay. I don't have a problem with that. You can take it up with God. He's the one that said it. Okay? We all have a tendency towards evil. All of us would like to think we have a tendency towards good, but it's just not scriptural. When I think about it for us, look at Psalm chapter 24. We'll get ready to read this psalm, and you need to know a couple of things about it. This psalm was written by David, and it was written at a time that they were having a great celebration because the Ark of the Covenant had been returned to the people of Israel. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute, but it says this in verse 1, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. For he laid its foundation on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not set his mind on what is false and who has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, you ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that for each of us here this morning, that we did not just show up here because it's Sunday and that's what we do. I pray that for each one of us this morning, that we would open our doors, that we would open our gates, that we would let you speak into us this morning. What it would take in our systems to be rebooted in our hearts, to be the people that you want us to be, that you might say for us what you said for David, that we are a people after your own heart. Lord, I pray this morning that distraction would be minimal, that people wouldn't be moving around and going to the restroom and phones wouldn't be going off and all of the things that distract us, but that we would listen this morning, that we would open our doors, that we would open our gates, that you might come in and speak to each of us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. David writes this Psalm chapter 24 here in celebration because the Ark of the Covenant was given back to the people of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's covenant with the people of Israel, and it represented God's presence to them. And they were given a promise that if they would obey God, that God would bless them. They were also given a promise on the other side that if they were rebellious towards the Lord, not that God would punish them, but that God would open up the natural progression of their choices. We live in a world that thinks when we make bad choices and God doesn't protect us from those bad choices, that God, it's His fault for not protecting us. But what God does is when we make bad choices, God opens up the opportunity for the natural progression of our choices to take place. And the scriptures say, for the wages of sin is death. Know that the decisions we make in opposition to God's will for our life lead us down a road of destruction. It's only natural. That's scriptural. God had promised them if they would do well that he would bless them. In Proverbs 14, the scriptures say, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof leads to death. For us, it's not about what we think is right. It's about what the Holy Spirit leads us to do in accordance with God's word and God's will. There was this group of people in the scriptures called the Philistines. The Philistines were to the Israelites. The two of those just didn't jive. It's like the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. It's like the Oklahoma Sooners and the Texas Longhorns. It's like in the 80s when I was a teenager and growing up, it's like the USA and the USSR. It was the Philistines and the Israelites. They just clashed all the time. They had seven major battles in the scriptures between those two countries. The number one battle is one we all remember. There was this boy who came out and whipped the Goliath, the giant of the Philistines. His name was David. That's the number one battle of the seven that we all remember the story of. This is the same David that writes this psalm. I think it's interesting that at one point we read about another battle where the Philistines come out and they kill 4,000 of the Israelites. The Israelites get to thinking, what in the world is it that we're doing wrong that 4,000 of us get killed by the Philistines, the arch enemy not only of us but of God? And so what they decide is that they're going to trot this Ark of the Covenant out, kind of as their shield, as their safety, as their plan B, as their thing that, hey, if we'll just do the Ark of the Covenant out here, God will protect us and take care of us. So they trot the Ark of the Covenant out, and they decide they'll go fight the Philistines again, but this time with the protection of the Ark of the Covenant, because what possibly could go wrong if the Ark of the Covenant is with us? That time there's 30,000 of them that get killed. And not only do 30,000 of them get killed by the Philistines, but the Philistines capture the Ark of the Covenant and take it away. When they capture the Ark of the Covenant, they keep it for a little while. They take it back to where to their place, and they put it in the temple of their god, Dagon. When they come back in the morning, the big statue of their god, Dagon, has fallen like it's bowing to the Ark of the Covenant, which I will tell you that's exactly what I think was happening. God's showing the Philistines that your god, Dagon, is not in charge. I'm in charge. And it had fallen, the statue. So they prop it back up. When they come back the next morning, the statue has fallen again like it's bowing to the Ark of the Covenant, only this time its arms and its head are broken off. People in their city begin to get sores and tumors, so they ship the Ark of the Covenant off to another city. People in that city begin to get sores and begin to get tumors, and they begin to be infested by rats. So they finally figure out, hey, this gold box, this Ark of the Covenant, we're sending it back to the Israelites. When they send it back to the Israelites, David rejoices that the Ark is back, and he writes Psalm 24. Verse 1, when we think about rebooting our heart, it says, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. I would tell you that when we reboot our heart, the first thing that we got to do is go from a self-assurance to a Jesus assurance. Now, we'd all like to think, I depend on Jesus, he's my rock, he's my foundation, he's my anchor. But yet, look at the choices that we make and look at the way we live our lives. So many times, though we would profess it with our mouth, we don't live it with our lives. It's almost like we want to walk the Ark of the Covenant out and God just protect us because we showed up at church on Sunday. But to really live your life in a way that says, no matter what, I'm going to build my life. I'm going to anchor in the storm to Jesus. The fact is, all of us struggle with Jesus' assurance because all of us like to be in control ourselves. I like it a lot better when I am able to determine the outcome of any situation. It's really tough sometimes to trust the Lord in all the situations that we live in, but the truth is, that is the best plan. For us to reboot our hearts, we have to be reminded that at times we got to turn us off and turn on to the Lord. We have to remind ourselves to go back to the cross, to go back to our day of salvation. Some of us have been Christians so long, we've forgotten what it's like to be a lost person. and we just carry with the natural progression and natural momentum. But the fact is, that's not what God asks us for. God says there's something new for us every day, not the same old yesterday, just repeated again. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to listen to this. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Together with Jesus Christ, He also raised us up and seated us in the heavens so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." But God, you see, it's not about us. We like to think, I came to salvation and I did this and I'm faithful. But the fact is, God drew you, or you could not have come to salvation in the first place. It is God who leads us, not self-assurance, but Jesus assurance. Number two, for us to reboot our hearts, look at what it says in verse 4. It says, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." It says, "The one who has not set his mind on what is false and who has not sworn deceitfully." For us to reboot our heart, we must move from idols to God. Now, most of us, again, we don't think of ourselves as idol worshipers. But the fact is, if there's anything in your life that determines the direction of your life at any given moment of your life other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Scriptures, that thing is an idol to you. If there's anything that determines the direction in your life, maybe it's finances, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your in-laws, maybe it's your parents. If there's anything in our lives that keeps us from knowing the Lord better, or that keeps us from going the direction that the Lord wants us to go, that thing in our lives is an idol. Now, none of us in here would like to think of ourselves as idol worshipers. We would all like to think of ourselves as Jehovah worshipers. But I think it's interesting. Obviously, God knew something about our hearts. Because the first and greatest commandment, when they said, "What are the commandments?" What's the first and greatest commandment? Jesus, of all the things He could have said, what did He say? Love, which we would all describe with a heart. In our culture, we don't even write the word. We just draw a heart because we know what it is. Love. "The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Now, we always get caught up on the heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's not the key. The key is all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, if you get the all right, it doesn't really matter what the heart, soul, mind, and strength, how you define those. We preach sermons over the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength, and all of those different facets. It's important that we love the Lord our God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with all of our strength. Those are important, but the significant, the emphasis of it, is the all. You see, if you love Him with some, or if you love Him with most, that's still disobedient. If you trust Him until times are tight on dollars, that's not trusting in the Lord, that's trusting in you and in your bank account. If you trust Him with your job up until your job interferes, that's not trusting in the Lord, that's trusting in your job. If you make the decisions that are based on the Scriptures until your children don't want to do it, then you stop doing it. That's not basing your decisions upon the Scriptures. That's basing your decision upon your children because they don't want to get out of bed or because they don't want to do a certain thing or because they're playing ball or because they're doing any number of things. No different for your spouse. You see, ultimately, each of us are called to do what God calls us to do, regardless of what anyone else says. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's almost like God knows our hearts have a tendency to turn away from Him. It's almost like they have a natural tendency towards evil, a natural tendency to do that which is disobedient to Him. It's interesting, that's in the New Testament where Jesus says that. But it's also interesting that in the Old Testament, when God gave all of the law, when God gave the Ten Commandments, number one, you shall have no other gods before me. That's number one. It's almost like God knows our natural tendency is to let other things get in His place. And those other things are fluid. They change day to day, over time. For some of us, they stay pretty consistent. We know what the things are that we battle. But it's interesting that the Scriptures say that we must have a pure heart, that we must move from idols to God. The last one, when we think about rebooting our hearts, is that we move from outside in. Or so many times we think when we reboot our heart that the healing works from the outside to the in, but it really works from the inside to the out. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him and who seek the face of the God of Jacob. When I think about from the outside in versus the inside out, the Scriptures say that we'll receive blessing and righteousness. Now, blessing, we all understand, that's God's favor. That's when God protects us, when God looks out for us, when God gives us those things that we don't necessarily deserve. Righteousness is real simple. I was reading this week and studying. Somebody said righteousness is real simple to define. It means this, rightness. If you're right with God, that makes you a righteous person. And the Scriptures say that when we reboot our hearts and we understand that God works from the inside out, not the outside in, that it makes a difference to us and that it makes us righteous and that it gives us God's blessing. As I said earlier, we get concerned with what everyone sees and we spend all our time polishing up the outside because that's the thing that's visible. And we forget that God works on the inside. I couldn't help this week when I think about things healing and things working from the inside out and that we naturally think that we got to fix the outside first. I want you to hear me this morning. If you're here this morning and God has already spoken to you that you need to reboot your heart, I want you to know something. Your natural tendency is to think, I got to straighten all of these things out. And I want you to know it's just not true. It's not self-assurance, it's Jesus' assurance. You don't straighten it out, you let God straighten it out and get you right, but it's not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. On July the 19th of 2011, I left my house in Odessa on a bike ride. I was headed to Midland. It's about 30 miles to Midland and back. I had a buddy that I was going to ride bikes with that day. He and I rode a lot together. We went all the way to Midland, we made the turn, we started back, headed west. I remember at one point as we headed back west, we hadn't turned very long, and a guy passed us on a bicycle. It had a custom paint job. It had flames on it like an old hot rod from the 50s. It was spectacular. I remember that. I thought that bike was just impressive. I'd never seen one with like your own custom paint job on it. And I loved the flames. That's the last thing I remember. I rode about 7 more miles. When I left my house, I'd ride 1 mile east to a road called Fodry, and I'd meet Tracy there, and he and I would ride on to Midland, and we rode back to Fodry. When I got back to Fodry, Tracy turned to the left and headed to his house. I had 1 mile to my house, but somewhere in that mile, I got hit by a car. A lady ran over me from the back, right in the middle of a hood of an SUV. She told the police officer she was going 55. Now, I don't know what that means, but I know what most of us tell police officers, right, Darren? When they ask us speed, she said she was going 55. I want to tell you this. Now, I want you, before I show you these, I got a couple pictures I want to show you this morning. And if you're one who's kind of weak stomach, then you better focus in on me. Okay? But I got a couple pictures I want you to see. This is the first one. When Christy first got to the hospital, That was a picture she got. I was not in real good shape. And I couldn't remember anything except for the fact that I was thirsty. Christy said I offended the doctor because I kept calling her a nurse. It was a lady, and I kept calling her a nurse. She wrote in my chart that I obviously have short-term memory loss because I continue to ask for a Diet Coke. I still don't remember any of it to this day. One of the places that it banged me pretty good, I think had it not been for my helmet, I'd have been in trouble. But it raked me pretty good on my arms when she ran over me. That's my left arm. You don't see it too much today. If you look close, you can still see the scar there. Now, this next picture is really the one that I want you to see. That's my right knee. And the reason that I show you this picture is I was fascinated by this process. That one took just about 3 months to heal. It never scabbed one time. Now, you'd look at that and go, hey, that looks like a scab. It's not. I guess that's where it was burned by rubbing it on the road. It never scabbed. I kept it covered for 3 months, and it healed up, and they kept telling me, you could look kind of, this sounds terrible, but in that one hole, you could look in there, and you could see bone. And they kept telling me it'll heal up, but you got to keep it covered, and you got to keep it moist, and it'll heal from the inside out. Most of the sores that we have heal from the outside in, from the way that we see them when they scab over. But they said, hey, you keep it wet. Very rarely did I uncover it, maybe for 30 minutes or an hour each evening when I got home, because they didn't want it to scab, and it healed from the inside out. When that hole started filling up from the inside and then growing to the outside until it all healed up in about 3 to 4 months. You see, the key is that we understand the inside out. I want you to know this. You got to trust Jesus, and I just had to trust the doctors because what they were telling me just didn't make sense. But I trusted them, and I did what they said. I want you to know that you can trust the Lord with your heart. Don't forget, He created you and your heart. I would tell you, since I've lived in Medill, they've had 11 or 12 people killed on that same exact stretch of road that I got hit on. People run over bicyclists. I talked to one of my buddies out there the other day, and they said there's hardly anybody that rides bikes on that road anymore. I rode it all the time. But I'm one of the few that got hit and survived. As far as I know, the only. Like I say, they've had 11 or 12 that have been killed since I left Odessa on that same stretch of road. But I just say this to you. It's not about you straightening things up on the outside. It's about you trusting the Lord enough to let Him work on you from the inside. See, we have a natural tendency to think, when I get all these things straight and when I get all this stuff, then I'm going to be who God wants me to be, and then I'm going to be serious about it. I'm just telling you, you'll never get there. For those of you that have children, you'll understand this. If you wait until you can afford children, there would be no children. At some point, you just say to your spouse, hey, let's have a kiddo. I know we can't afford it, but let's have a kiddo. I'm telling you, you'll never get things straightened up on your own. You have to trust the Lord with it. And when you do, He heals from the inside out. We're going to do our invitation a little different this morning. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Typically, during our invitation, we have a time that our staff comes down here and stands at the front. But we're going to do it just a little different this morning. Here's what I'd like you to do. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Here's what I want to ask you this morning. Are you in the place that God has for you? If you're here this morning and you say, hey, I'm secure in the fact that I'd go to heaven if Jesus came back today, but I'm just not where I should be. And I'm willing from the inside out to trust the Lord today to reboot my heart, to get me back where He wants me to be. Would you just look up at me? I see people all over the room. Stay looking at me. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to put a little pressure to you. I'm going to ask you, if that's you and you're looking at me, to get up and come to the front. Now, just line up here with these guys. Just, you don't have to face the audience. You can stay facing this way if you want. But I just want you to gather in. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time for those of you out there. It's not about you. You can't do it on your own. It's an inside out thing that you have to trust the Lord with. Anybody else? Don't miss out. This is your chance. Don't miss out. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You can't spend all your time polishing the outside. At some point, you got to let the Lord have control of the inside. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to squeeze in tight as you can. Take up as little space as possible. Josh and Drew and Alex kind of help everybody herd in there. I'm going to tell you, with my knee, I do not understand how it healed like that. It doesn't make sense. To me, it needs to scab over, and that way it fights infection and all of those things. But ultimately, I'm not smarter than the doctors, and I trusted them. And it worked out great. I'm going to tell you, you're not smarter than the Lord. He created you. He made you. But you have to do it His way. Okay? Now, God will honor the fact that you made the commitment this morning. I want to pray for you, and then I want you to stay right here for just a second. Let me pray for this group. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this group of men and women, boys and girls that are here. Lord, what we need in our lives sometimes is just a do-over. Lord, I thank You that they're willing this morning to step up and say, my life is just not where it needs to be and where God wants it to be, but I trust the Lord to change me from the inside out. Dear Lord, we're relying on You. They've said by being here this morning, they can't do it themselves. They're trusting You. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each one this morning. And as they go throughout this week, in the places where they get detoured, where they let idols creep in, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to them and say, hey, you're off course. That's an idol. Don't chase that. Chase Me. Lord, I pray that You would renew their hearts, that You would reboot their hearts and help them to seek after You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to stay right here just a second. This group out here, would you bow your heads with me one more time? This group right here, this is your first assignment. You pray for that group out there right now. Okay? You be praying for them. The group still sitting in chairs, I would ask you this morning, there's some of you sitting out there that would say, hey, if Jesus came back today, I don't know that I would go to heaven. You need a new operating system, not just a reboot. You need a new operating system, just like a computer, that helps it function like it's supposed to function. This group up here has given their heart to Christ before. That's why they can just reboot. But for you got to have a whole new operating system. The scriptures say for us that God will give us a new heart if we will ask Him to forgive us of our sin and be the Lord of our life. You've tried everything you can imagine. You've tried having a job with more money and you still have issues. You've tried maybe marriage. You maybe have tried kiddos. You maybe have tried moving to a new place or changing to a new job. Or maybe you've tried alcohol or maybe you've tried something else. And the fact is, it just doesn't seem to be working for you. And the reason is because you need a new operating system, not a reboot. If that's you this morning, would you just look up here at me? If you would just say, hey, I just want a new operating system. I'm tired of the system I've got. It's obviously not working that well. Would you just look up here at me till I catch eyes with you? I'm in the section over here to your right. Just look until you catch eyes with me, if that's you. Hey, you can be all concerned about the outside. You can be concerned about what somebody else is going to think. But God's not concerned with that. God's only concerned with your inside. Okay? This section right here, that's your right, which would be the middle section on the right. Anybody in that section, look up here at me, that you say, hey, I just need a new operating system. Anybody? Okay. This section that's in the middle, the left side middle section, anybody in that section that would say, hey, I just need a new operating system. Okay. All of the sections over here to your left. If you need a new operating system, I want you looking at me. But if you don't, I want you to keep your head bowed. Okay? Now, if you're looking at me, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get up and come right down here to the front too. All over the room, if that's you, get up and come here. Don't be worried about the outside, what everybody thinks. Just be concerned with the inside. Alex, will you catch these two guys? Will you two guys right here go with Alex and just share with them a little bit? Josh, will you catch right here? Drew, will you catch the ones that walked up on your side? Just pull them off to the side and visit with them just a little bit. Answer whatever questions they may have. All right, now everybody look here at me. We're going to talk over the next 4 weeks about rebooting our minds and rebooting our mouths, rebooting our hands and our feet. Something else. I can't remember what the last one is. I'm going to tell you, your heart is the most important, but it's not the only. It's important for you to be here. For you out there, you may say, hey, my heart's good. I'm following the Lord. I'm being who God wants me to be. But for every one of us, we have systems that need to be rebooted in our lives. For some of you, your heart's fine, but your mouth is a real problem. For some of you, your mouth is very encouraging. Your heart is good. You love people and you love the Lord. But your mind, the things that you think and the things that go through your mind, it just needs to be rebooted. You make the commitment the next 4 weeks to be here. It's going to be significant. It's going to help us get rebooted to be where we need to be, to operate how we need to operate. Good? Thank you so much. You can go back to your seats this morning. You out there, catch their faces as they go back. That would be your job, to pray for them and to encourage them as you see them through the week. Ask them how they're doing. Help them to be faithful in the things that they do. There's some of you this morning who didn't say, hey, I need a reboot, but you really do. You and I both know it. Merely, that's not true. You know it. I have no clue. But the Lord knows it. It's from the inside out. And if you didn't have the courage to step up this morning, I think the reason for that is because you're polishing the outside so that everybody else sees that it looks good. I want you to know the Lord loves you, but you have to trust Him. It's the only way it'll work. Good? Let me pray with you this morning, and then we're going to go with the buzz. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the lesson that we learned in the Scriptures this morning from King David. Dear Lord, a man who made amazingly huge bad decisions in life more than once. And yet the Scriptures describe him as a man after your own heart. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be those kind of people. Dear Lord, we are people who have made huge mistakes. But dear Lord, you love us just like you love David. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust you just like David did. That we'd repent of the decisions we've made. And that we would go in the directions you'd have us to go. That we would reboot our hearts. That we might be more like you. That all systems would be go. That you can use us and launch us into the world. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.